الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, we continue the explanation of the book of Tawheed, and this, the title of the book is Al-Qawlu Al-Mufid Ala Kitab Al-Tawheed, the beneficial saying on the book of Tawheed. And the explanation will be, of course, that of Sheikh Muhammad bin Salih Al Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. Last night we reached the point where the author, may Allah's mercy be upon him, was relating some of the important verses that are evidences for the importance of Tawheed. And the last thing we mentioned was concerning the saying of Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, when he was referring to the covenant of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and we mentioned that this was not a will, because there was no written will from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam for the ummah. And with regard to the paper that Ali bin Abi Talib, may Allah be pleased with him, mentioned, that the paper was referring to some of the understanding which he recorded regarding certain aspects of the deen, particularly regulations related to blood money and to the freeing of the captives, and that no Muslim shall be killed for a kafir. And in the statement, Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, denied that there was something exceeding the Quran, and this is very important. He said, "Wallahi falqa al-habba wa bara al-nasma." He made an oath by the one who made the grain split and who created the soul. And in the oath وَبَرَأَ النَّسْمَ, I translated it last night as created the breeze, but this is incorrect, this is a slip. Okay, so the correct oath that he made was وَالَّذِي بَرَأَ النَّسْمَ, the one who created the soul. So here he was making an oath denying that he had anything to exceed the Quran. Okay, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Then the author related the hadith, the famous hadith reported by Mu'adh bin Jabal, and this is a very beautiful hadith and very profound, where Mu'adh said, "I was riding behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam on a camel. I was riding behind the Prophet, peace be upon him, on a camel. And he, the Prophet, told me, 'Ya Mu'adh, O Mu'adh, Atadri, do you know, Ma haqqu Allahi ala al-ibad, what is the right of Allah upon his slaves? Wa ma haqqu al-ibadi ala Allah, and what is the right of the slaves upon Allah?' I responded," meaning Mu'adh responded by saying, "Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam, Allah and His Messenger know best." Qal, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon him, continued, "Haqqu Allahi 'ala al-'ibad an ya'buduhu wa la yushriku bihi shay'a." The right of Allah upon His slaves is to worship Him alone, and never to associate anything with him. And وَحَقُّ الْعِبَادِ عَلَى اللَّهِ أَنْ لَا يُعَذِّبَ مَنْ لَا يُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. And the right of slaves upon him, Allah, is not to punish any person who does not associate anything with him. I said, O Allah's Messenger, أَفَلَا أُبَشِّرُ النَّاسِ, may I not give the glad tidings to the people? He, the Prophet ﷺ, responded, no, don't inform them, lest they rely on what? On this promise, and then lapse in the service to him, as will be explained. So here, Mu'ad was riding behind the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam on a donkey. And then he, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, came to Mu'ad and came in a form of a question, telling him, Ya Mu'ad, atadri, do you know what is the right of Allah? What does this mean? What is the right of Allah upon the slaves? It means what He entailed upon them, and what is abiding upon them to deal with Him. And he put it in this format, the format of a question. Why? In order to bring the heart of Mu'ad to his attention, so that he can understand what the Messenger, peace be upon him, was saying to him. And then he said, the Prophet ﷺ, وَمَا حَقُّ الْعِبَادِ عَلَى اللَّهِ, and what is the right of the slaves upon Allah? What does this mean? What is the right of the slave upon Allah? Meaning, what he is to deal them with. The slaves did not entail anything upon Allah. However, Allah made it binding upon himself as a favor from him to his slaves. The evidence for this is in the following verse in the Quran. In chapter 6, verse 54, Allah said, كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ أَنَّهُ مَنْ عَمِلَ مِنْكُمْ سُوءًا بِجَهَالَةٍ ثُمَّ تَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. When those who believe in, okay, your Lord, this is the point of evidence, please follow me with the text. Your Lord has written mercy for himself. You see the point? Your Lord has written mercy for himself. He made it binding upon himself, so that if any of you does evil in ignorance and thereafter repents and does righteous good deeds, then surely he is oft forgiving, most merciful. So here's the point of evidence. Our Lord Allah has written mercy upon himself, so he made it dutiful upon himself out of his favor upon us, that he is to be merciful for the one who sins out of ignorance or incorrect behavior. Then he repents after this and does righteousness, that Allah made it binding upon himself to be merciful to him and thus forgive him. This is the meaning of the right of the slaves upon Allah. This is the meaning of the right of the slaves upon Allah. Is this understood, inshallah? Is this understood? Is this clear? Okay, alhamdulillah. Then Mu'ad, in the context of the dialogue with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, said, Allah wa rasuluhu a'lam, Allah and his messenger knows best, meaning as to what is the right of Allah upon us and what is the right of the slaves upon Allah. Meaning Allah and his messenger know best and better than others, and of course better than me. They know that. The answer came from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. the right of Allah upon the slaves is that they worship Him, meaning they humiliate themselves and submit to Him in obedience. This is first thing. وَلَا يُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا, and that they ascribe no partners to Him or anything in worship. And this covers everything, whether he is a prophet or an angel or a righteous man or anything. It's forbidden to take as partners in worship besides Allah. This is the right of Allah upon His slaves. Then the Prophet moved to explain further that the right of the slaves upon Allah is not to punish any person who does not associate anything with Allah, meaning associate anything in worship. This right is a favor, underline this word, this right of the slave upon Allah is a favor from Allah, is from His grace upon us. And no one can entail this upon Allah. So here, that Allah is not to punish anyone who does not associate anything in Him. And this means worship Him and associate nothing in worship with Him. Now, and if someone doesn't worship Allah and yet does not ascribe partners with Him, would he be punished? The answer, yes. Because what is meant here, that Allah will not punish anyone who worships Him and associate nothing with Him in worship. And the evidence for this is in two statements. In the first one, Allah said, حَقُّ الْعِبَادِ, the right of the slaves. And the one who is described as a slave, then he must be a worshipper of Allah. And in the beginning of the statement, Allah said that the right of Allah upon the slave is that they worship Him and associate no partners with Him in worship. And thus, therefore, the second part, that the right of Allah upon His slaves is that He doesn't punish those who does not associate anything with Him. Implicit in that is that they should worship Him, meaning they cannot associate anything with Him in worship. This is which will save them from the punishment. Then Mu'ad said to the Prophet, he said, Ya Rasulallah, O Messenger of Allah, may I not give glad tidings to the people concerning this, what you are telling me? Should I keep silent and thus I may not give glad tidings to them? And the glad tidings is to give news concerning that which would bring happiness to a person. And it also could be used in informing about what also could be harmful. But the glad tidings of bringing that which introduces happiness is the abundantly used format, but it may be used in the sense of giving news of something harmful, as in the case of Surah Al-Inshiqaq, verse 24. فبشرهم بعذاب أليم. So give them the glad tidings. The tidings of what? A painful torment. The tidings of a painful torment. So it may be used in that context, but it is often used in bringing the good news that introduces happiness to the heart. The Prophet answered, لا تبشرهم, don't tell them. The meaning of the hadith here so far is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish the one who doesn't associate partners with him in worship, and that sins can be forgiven by implementing tawheed. Allahu Akbar. That sins are forgivable by Allah بتحقيق التوحيد, by manifesting tawheed, meaning singling Allah alone in worship, associating no partners with him in worship. And the Prophet ﷺ prevented Mu'adh from telling the news lest they lapse and depend upon this glad tidings without manifesting what it entails, because manifesting tawheed necessitates avoiding sins, because sins originate from desire, and desire is one form of shirk, as Allah said in Surah Al-Jasiyah verse 23 45 23. And desire meaning if someone inclines to his desires, as Allah made it clear in 45:23, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَى, have you seen him who takes his own lust, vain desires, lowly desires, that's what's meant here, as his ilah, as God, meaning and follows them. Now, what we have heard so far in this chapter from the verses and from the hadiths and narrations, all are evidences to prove and cited to prove the merits of Tawheed, and that it prevents and protects from the punishment of Allah. The important issues in the chapter that we covered are as follows, as the author rahimahullah tabulated them, and as they will be explained by our Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah one by one. The first issue, the wisdom in creating mankind and jinn. This is deduced from the saying of Allah, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, verily I have created mankind and jinn for the sole purpose of worshipping me alone. So this is the wisdom, this is the purpose behind in our existence, is to worship Allah, not just for mere eating, drinking and marrying and. Secondly, أن العبادة هي التوحيد لأن الخصومة فيه. Worship is tawheed, meaning the worship which is established upon tawheed is the true worship, because any ibadah, any worship where there is no tawheed in it, singling Allah alone in that worship, is not worship. Especially since the righteous predecessors interpreted the saying of Allah إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ except that they worship me. They said this means إِلَّا لِيُوَحِّدُونَ except that they single me alone in worship. This is exactly what the author deducted correctly, that ibadah is tawheed. So every ibadah, every worship that is not based upon tawheed is false. Qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the authentic hadith reported by Muslim relating the saying of Allah, قال الله تعالى, Allah the Most High said, quote, أنا أغنى الشركاء عن الشرك. I, Allah, I am the one who doesn't stand in need of a partner. من عمل عملا أشرك فيه معي غيري تركته وشركه. If anyone does anything which he associates with me, meaning associating anyone or anything with me, I shall abandon him with one who he associates with Allah. I shall abandon him. Why did the author say لأن الخصومة فيه, when he said that عبادة, that worship is توحيد, then he said because it is this issue that had always been in dispute between the messengers and their nations and between the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the pagans of Quraysh. The pagans used to worship Allah, you know that? They used to pray. They used to circulate the Kaaba, the sacred Kaaba in Mecca. Yet, you know what? They did that without sincerity to Allah and in an illegal form, in an illegal way. So, their deeds are just like nothing, in vain. Why? Because they didn't bring Tawheed. They didn't single Allah in this worship. Listen to what Allah says in Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 54. وَمَا مَنَعَهُمْ أَن تُقْبَلَ مِنْهُمْ نَفَقَاتُهُمْ إِلَّا أَنَّهُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَبِرَسُولِهِ. And nothing prevents their contributions from being accepted from them except they disbelieved in Allah and His Messenger. The third issue, أن من لم يأتي بالتوحيد لم يعبد الله ففيه معنى قوله ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد. Meaning, the one who does not fulfill the tawheed, لم يعبد الله, actually didn't worship Allah. And in this sense is the meaning of the verse in Surah Al-Kafirun, وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدْ, nor will you worship that which I worship. You are not worshipping my worship because your worship is based upon shirk, upon association, associating partners with Allah in worship. So it is not a worship of Allah. The fourth issue that was discussed is the wisdom in sending the messengers. The author took and deducted this from the verse in Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16, verse 36. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ. So the wisdom is, and verily we have sent in every community, every nation, a messenger proclaiming, worship Allah and avoid طاغوت. طاغوت are all false deities. And verily we have sent among every ummah, every community or nation, a messenger proclaiming worship Allah alone and avoid or keep away from all false deities. So this is the wisdom, is to call people to single Allah alone in worship, to tawheed, and to avoid all false deities. And the fifth issue is that the message عَمَّتْ كُلَّ أُمَّةِ, that the message applies to all nations, because Allah states here, and verily we have sent among every ummah, every community in the past before the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and at last to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and thus to mankind until the day of resurrection. The sixth issue, that النَّدِينَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ واحد, that the religion of the prophets is one. And this is taken again from the first verse, which you see it here. And verily we have sent to every nation a messenger with the same message, worship none but Allah. And this is also similarly cited in the Quran in another verse in 21:25. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَعْبُدُونَ. And we didn't send any messenger before you, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, but we inspired him saying, لا إله إلا أنا, none has the right to be worshipped but I, Allah, so worship me alone and none else. Does this saying contradict the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Ma'idah in chapter 5:48? There is no contradiction between this verse which you see there, and we didn't send any messenger before you except, you know, meaning that the messengers all were on one religion. Does this contradict with 5:48 where Allah says, لِكُلِّنْ جَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ شِرْعَةً وَمِنْهَاجًا, to each among you, this is the point of evidence here, to each among you we have prescribed a law and a clear way. To each of you, let's have this taken please. To each among you we have prescribed a law and a clear way. Can we have this text written so that the people can see it? This does not negate, because, yes, okay, because the laws, the practical application of the laws, differ with nations and places and times. However, the root of the religion, its essence is the same. Listen to what Allah says in chapter 42:13. شرع لكم من الدين ما وصى به نوحا والذي أوحينا إليك وما وصينا به إبراهيم وموسى وعيسى